Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Let's hit the guest line right now. Let's welcome aboard Mike Johnson, former offensive lineman, Alabama, with the Atlanta Falcons as well. Talk a little college football right now. Hey, Mike, Taz on the Moves with you. Thanks for a couple minutes this morning.
What's up, Mike?
I'm really excited about it, man. Good to talk to you guys.
Oh, pleasure's all ours, Mike. It's interesting. Let's start here. This Alabama team now with Tua at quarterback, it honestly almost seems unfair.
It really does, man. And obviously, this is an Alabama program that for years has had talent at every position and talent all over the field. But for the last couple of years, you just haven't seen some of these talented skill positions, especially at wide receiver and a couple of the running backs, it seems like, because Jalen Hurts has been the show. I mean, he's been the guy getting the rushing yards. He's been the guy getting the passing yards. Every pass he's thrown for the past couple of years has seemingly gone to Calvin Ridley, who is now with the Atlanta Falcons. And so you insert Tua Tagovailoa. He has a sense of urgency and anticipation from the quarterback position that I have not seen at Alabama myself. And so it's been an extremely exciting start to the year. Now all of a sudden the curtain's being pulled back and you see the talented skill positions, the tight ends, Irv Smith Jr., the wide receivers, Henry Ruggs, some of these other guys that are able to get open against some of the best coverage guys in college football. It's going to be an exciting year on that Alabama offense. They look something like I have never seen and never thought I'd see, frankly, under a Nick Saban coached football team.
Yeah, well said, Mike. So you mentioned this in what you were just saying there about Hurts, about Jalen Hurts. I got to say, Moose and I, we've talked a lot about him. His body of work at Alabama has been excellent. The kid, really, you kind of feel for the guy. Tua basically beat him out in the Natty Championship, as you know, more or less. But, like, what's your opinion how, this young man's been handling this? I mean, the camera's on him on the sideline while Tua's in there balling. It's a tough thing, you know. How do you think he's been handling it?
I think he's done really well. He's done better. He's done better than I probably would.
I hear you. Me too. Me too.
So I got to give him credit there. It's just a tough spot. I mean, the bottom line is this. Anybody, and that includes Jalen Hurts and Jalen Hurts' family and Jalen Hurts' biggest fans, can see that Tua Tagovailoa is just the better quarterback.
Yeah.
That's just the way to be frank about it. And so I think Jalen Hurts has done a nice job of kind of circling the wagons. I said it before the year started. This is a guy who needs to figure out what his own personal goals are. I mean, he needs to figure out what he wants to make of his football career, what he wants to make of the rest of his college career, what position he wants to try to play in the NFL. He needs to figure all those things out. And it sounds to me like he still wants to play quarterback and he still wants to be a part of this Alabama football program. And I think that's an exciting thing all the way around. I've heard so many people, and I'm sure you guys have, that want to give the opinion, Nick Saban needs to do the right thing by Jalen Hurts. He wants to, he needs to redshirt the guy. He needs to make sure he's taking care of Jalen. But I think Nick Saban's done the right thing. He's taking care of the football team. Nick Saban is worried about the football team, and he's worried about the rest of the other 120 guys that are on that roster. And that football team is better with Jalen on the football team being the backup quarterback. He gives them the best chance to win if something does happen to Tua Tagovailoa. So I'm a huge Jalen Hurts fan. I'm a huge fan of the way he's handled things. I think 99.9% of Alabama fans feel the same way, and it's been a pleasure to watch the guy this season, honestly.
Mike, real quick, one more thing I want to ask you on Hurts. Were you surprised he didn't transfer?
I'm actually not. I think there was going to be a number of people in his ear that, say, hey, maybe you need to transfer, maybe you need to do this. But he's getting the best coaching possible, and he has the best possible lineup around him at Alabama. And he wants to play quarterback in the NFL, that's fine. He's going to get the best possible situations in some of these games he's going to see for the rest of the year. He's going to get plenty of playing time still there at Alabama to showcase his abilities.
I'm curious, Mike. We're talking to Mike Johnson, Backyard Sports Network, former Alabama and Atlanta Falcons offensive lineman. Talking a little college football. Let's stay in the SEC. Were you surprised by the comeback of LSU on Saturday on the road at Auburn?
You know, I should have been surprised by it, but the way Gus Malzahn has tended to handle games like this, it just becomes unsurprising at some point. I mean, you know, I gave my keys to the games, and I said, you got to keep your foot on the gas. And they just seemingly have not been able to do that. They have not been able to mesh their running game at Auburn with their passing game at Auburn. And it just, for whatever reason, their offense has not been able to click. And listen, you've got to give LSU credit. They've done some good things. But without the Derek Dillon touchdown there at the beginning of the fourth quarter or whenever it was, this game looked a lot different. It was like a one-play drive for a 71-yard touchdown. And then all of a sudden, LSU is in control of the game, you know, until the field goal there. And so you take away those 70, and all of a sudden, LSU has not even gotten 300 yards of offense in the game. And everybody's still asking questions about Joe Burrow. But listen, Auburn lost the turnover battle. They lost the time of possession. They lost third down conversion ratios to LSU. So when you do things like Auburn has done, that leaves a lot of questions. And I still have a lot of questions about Gus Malzahn as a head coach in the SEC because games like this keep popping up for him.
So, Mike, I got to ask you. Let's go down. We'll go out to Lincoln, Nebraska, right? So the Huskers, they're 0-2. 0-2 for the first time since 1957, dude. And they just lost to Troy, like 24-19, I think it was. What's going on, man? You know, new head coach there, you know, Scott Frost. What's the deal? Like, what do you think they got to fix? I mean, are you shocked? I know I'm shocked. I didn't expect them to be 0-2 right now. Give me a breakdown on Huskers.
Yeah, well, I think it's been tough. And obviously the injury to Adrian Martinez, the true freshman starting quarterback that they named a couple of weeks ago, is a big deal. I love pointing at that to Bama fans. Hey, listen, this is why Nick Saban has fought so hard to keep Jalen Hurts on the roster
at
Alabama. Because you got a guy in Adrian Martinez that gets dinged up, and the backup quarterbacks have all transferred. There's nobody left. And so you got to try a first-year quarterback out there that's a walk-on to be able to take over for Adrian Martinez last week. And it becomes unshocking. But I'm honestly not that shocked about the start in Nebraska. They're still a very good football team. But Scott Frost, it's going to take a minute. Nebraska is not one of those programs that's 2 or 3 years from glory. They're about 20 years from glory. Mm. And so it's going to take them a little bit of time to get it turned around. I think Scott Frost is the right guy for the job. Just a bad set of circumstances here in the first couple of weeks. And listen, he's not the only one. Those people down at Florida State, those people over in Arkansas, people down in Gainesville. He's not the only one having troubles here in the first couple of weeks.
Yeah, but you mentioned it. How about the criticism of Taggart here early on, initial year running that FSU program, Mike?
You know, I'm one of those guys, fellas, that I'm always giving these coaches the benefit of the doubt in the first couple of years, but I don't think I can go there with Willie Taggart anymore. I just really don't. I mean, they look like a football team. They look like a football team, in my opinion, that skips training camp. I mean, that's what they look like right now. They are so badly coached. They are so bad on offense. And I know a lot of people, and listen, I'm a former offensive lineman, so I'm going to have the offensive lineman back. Everybody in Tallahassee wants to point to the offensive line, but at some point you can't blame them anymore. At some point you've got to, listen, give me a screen. Give me a misdirection. Give me a draw play. Give me something else that takes pressure off this offensive line. You can't say there's no offensive line talent, and then you almost lose to Samford in week two. It can't come down to those five guys if you're playing a Samford football team that's that overmatched. Willie Taggart, lethal simplicity he calls his offense, I think it's just been simple. I don't think there's any lethal to it. But they look terrible through a few weeks. He's going to find himself possibly out of a job if they don't get it turned around here in the next 3 weeks.
So, Mike, one of the bigger upsets I think there was, I was shocked. I watched the game from Camp Randall there in Madison, Wisconsin, man. The Badgers fall to the BYU 24-21. Shocked here. And Hornibrook played pretty good. He threw for over 190 yards. And they got top-tier running back in Taylor. What the hell is going on with the Badgers?
That's a great question. This is a football team, in my opinion, and you'll talk to a number of people that watch offensive lines from around college football. Wisconsin's got the best one, or
no
they
doubt.
Should.
No doubt.
They're looking at three preseason All-Americans up there on that Wisconsin offensive line, and Jonathan Taylor, who is, in a lot of people's eyes, the Heisman favorite. And if you'd have told me going into the game that Hornibrook would have thrown for 190 yards and that Jonathan Taylor would have been over 100 yards rushing,
right,
I'd have told you there's no way they lost the game. But you got to give credit to BYU and Taylor.
And at home, at home they lost too. It's crazy.
It is crazy. And, it's one of those things where you have to, and it's just like I felt about the Auburn-LSU game, where you dive back into the set of circumstances and you say, okay, I see the stat. How did they lose? But it comes down to third down conversion. It comes down to time of possession and staying on the field. It comes down to turnover ratio. And those are all things that Wisconsin just did not look great with the other day. BYU taking advantage of a lot of those circumstances and being able to pull it off in the second half because Wisconsin just couldn't stay on the field at times.
No, they couldn't. But I'll tell you this, you know, give BYU a lot of credit because they were actually winning at the point of attack, which is difficult to think about them going on the road at Camp Randall Stadium and being able to do that against this Wisconsin team, Mike.
Yeah, it definitely is, especially when you talk about how good they've been in the trenches for the last few years. But BYU, listen, they were up to the task. I got to give them credit. They went in with a game plan, in my opinion, and they executed it well. And it had a lot to do with those guys up front that were getting a mush because I've said it a million times, and I talk about this about Georgia when we talk about the Georgia football games and that offensive line. Give me the offensive line that's ripping off 5- and 6-yard gains on the ground. You can have, you know, some of these spread offenses and, you know, all the nameplates on the back of the jerseys for guys that are supposed to be good. The offensive line that's ripping off 4- and 5- and 6-yard gains on a down in and down out basis, those are the ones that are usually going to get the victory at the end of the game.
How important of a victory is it for Tom Herman in Texas on Saturday night?
Oof.
Oh, I don't think it could be understated. I heard last week on Twitter, and there was a couple of guys talking about Texas lineup, and there was somebody making the comment and that they had talked to an NFL scout, and that there might be 5 guys on this Texas roster that could play at CCU, which is like the most mind-boggling statement I've ever heard because, listen, I was on the 2009 Alabama team that played Texas, and Sergio Kendall and Lamar Houston and Colt McCoy, and all those guys that were extremely good football players, and to think that Texas has become anything less is unbelievable. But Tom Herman needed this. That he needs to be able to continue to point to recruits and say things are going in the right direction. You know, and this is just a football team that, listen, I had a guy on my show last week, and he was saying that, you know, it's unbelievable to think back a couple of years and think Tom Herman turned down the LSU job. And Ed Orgeron at this point is on more steady footing than Tom Herman is at Texas. Tom Herman, back-to-back years, that lost to Maryland, and all of a sudden Ed Orgeron 3-0 down here in the SEC. It's kind of crazy to see how that thing's turned out.
And, Mike, final one quickly here before we let you go. We're 3 weeks in, 3.5, 4 weeks into the college football season. I ask you, the 4 best teams that you have seen this year are who?
Oh, that's going to be tough. And first of all, I got to give credit to Ohio State. The way they've dealt with things, the way that football team has dealt with things that they've been going through and being able to come out victorious, so they're going to be one of them. I still think 2 of them lie in the SEC, and it's probably you know, a little bit of chalk to say Georgia and Alabama are 2 of the best football teams I've seen, but they just are. I don't think Clemson is involved in that. Clemson's getting some number one votes. I'm not a huge fan of what's going on in Clemson right now. I'm probably going to point to Oklahoma and Kyler Murray, the way he's been able to fit in Lincoln Riley's system so far. I think it's been really, really incredible for them. So give me Georgia and Alabama for chalk from the SEC. I'll take Ohio State and throw in Oklahoma as well. I don't include Clemson in my top 4 at this point.
Mike Johnson, Mike, fantastic job. We appreciate the time this morning. We really do and hope to do it again real soon. All right?
Thanks, buddy.
Awesome, guys. Thanks so much.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.